Morning.
Morning.
You guys can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I always wondered, time I was a kid, exactly how Samson did that with those foxes. Yeah. Trying to figure out how he got them tied tail to tail and torches. And it's a great idea. I just would like to... Somebody can make a movie of that and kind of show how that worked. I'd like that. I'd like it. Turn it loose in the grain field. Did I fill it that? Yeah. Torches. Burn that. Burn that baby up. That sounds interesting. 3,000 men. I always like when 3,000 men shows up. Reminds me of something. 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost, right? Actually heeded the gospel message. We're immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then I like it. You go out to battle and you get thirsty. It takes out 1,000. The jawbone of a donkey. And got a little thirsty after that. I'm going to die from this. And hollow place, split open, water comes out of it. And his strength is returned and he's revived. Somebody that is able to revive us. Rivers of living water, right? Sometimes in a spiritual battle, you get a little thirsty. And God revives us with that Holy Spirit. Also found interesting, the version, Michael, were you reading New King James, Michael? Or said something about smiting them hip and thigh, I think. Right? And I never, mine says ruthlessly. And, I kind of ruined it here, but it reminded me of a joke Caleb Wilson told me recently. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? He was ruthless. Well, that was pretty good. And, and then another one. What did Adam tell his kids why they weren't allowed in Eden anymore? Said, Mom ate us out of house and home. Anyways. Alright, I'm no good at jokes, so I like it when Caleb figures some out, looks them up, tells me. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You so much that You are God. Father, we're appreciative that You have gladly chosen to give us of Your kingdom. Lord, we're appreciative that in Your wisdom You have set forth a table on the first day of the week. Lord, my prayer is that we would partake rightly. That we would not partake of Your table and the table of demons. Father, where You are, that's where we also shall be. And we know that You have set this table in the heavenly realm and that we get to partake with You. We're thankful for that. I ask, Father, You be with me today as I preach Your word, that I would communicate it clearly. That all of us would come out of here really focused on seeking first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. Ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Appreciative of the stewardship and Lord's Supper this morning. You know, Mark's, some of his comments are going to flow right into some of what I'm preaching on today. I always liked that last verse you hit. One day I had a little conversation with the kids in school, and I did little quotes from different people, and I wrote that quote up there that he who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. I just put the initials of the person who did that quote. I said HS. That's for Holy Spirit. Okay? We want to make sure, Ron, that we are doing what we need to do so that we're strong. Okay? And then always appreciative, Roger, of your thoughts and the way that you... get us to think and consider things and slow down and truly our captain. Well, when we as disciples have been fully trained, we'll be just like our teacher, right? And we want to have that right attitude. Let's go together with my favorite verses. And I shared with the Bible school class this morning. Man, we've been through a lot this last year. And a lot of little curveballs and a lot of the brethren here that, you know, some of them have moved, and that's always difficult. And then some of them have passed on from this life, and that's tough for us that are remaining. I am happy for them. I really am. But sometimes just the constant barrage of what we encounter in this life and things we have to deal with can... So I have to fight discouragement, to tell you the truth. It just, those things just pile up and up and up, it seems like. And sometimes it seems like it doesn't back off. You know, I'm mindful of a couple years ago. I think Keisha actually knew these young fellows that were up at Red Lodge and doing some skiing. And that the chairlift there on that, their chair broke. Just broke and fell, and they got injured pretty bad. I think Keisha was telling me she knew him. And you know, I was thinking about that, you know, that I've mentioned this before, but the pressure, you know, what caused that chair to break? It wasn't like some catastrophic thing. It was just the continual, never ending wear and tear that finally that thing just broke down under that. And you know, life's not easy here. You know, honestly, I would be... There's a part of me that has a lot of responsibility that I think that I need to take for my family and for those that I'm still getting to work with spiritually. But when the Lord's taking people left and right... Somebody say we might have to reconsider that rapture idea. But anyways, that's... sorry, Kevin. Ransom souls. You know, when the Lord's... I kind of like... Hey, I'll volunteer. I wouldn't mind being next. You know, get out of this place. This place is tough. And, you know, the longer I live, the more appreciative I am of people who are faithful until death. This isn't easy. And so... When I'm fighting through some of that discouragement and trying to figure out how to overcome, well, there's one place, guys, I get that from. You know, ultimately it's from the Lord, but it says through the perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures that we might have hope. And Matthew 6:33 is one of my favorite verses because I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. We didn't read the stuff leading up to that, but basically it's, what are you worried about? You worried about where you're going to get your next meal? You worried about where you're going to live? You worried about if you're going to have the money to do this or do that? Hey, all those things the Gentiles eagerly seek. Our Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. You know, getting worried, guys, doesn't do anything. You're not going to add a single cubit to your lifespan, are you? So, you know, I like this verse. It's come back, and for me today, this is good for me. Regroup, refocus, get the direction set where it needs to be. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. In the midst of this spiritual war, we just gotta get back to basics. Get back to basics. Do the little things right, and those little things translate into big things. Where the focus on the fundamentals, and here's the focus. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. We talked last week about what the kingdom of God is. It is eternal. I'm appreciative for the prophecies, and I'm appreciative for the picture that God paints and that He has raised us up by faith and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that our citizenship is in heaven. I'm thankful that we have been brought forth out of where we were captives under Satan in this domain of darkness. He's brought us forth. He's rescued us. And He's delivered us. He's transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. The kingdom of God is here now. on earth through the church. I'm appreciative for that, that we get to be have a part of that. What an awesome... If you consider Satan's temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, and you know the last one, but not in Luke's account. He seems to be the most chronological out of them. But the one where Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, says to him, "All these things I'll give to you. Just fall down and worship me." Jesus says, "Be gone, Satan!" Right? It's written, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." The devil's willing to make deals and to sell kingdoms. And don't fool yourself for a second, guys. People that are rulers of these kingdoms, they sell out their souls. Do that. The devil making deals. You know what? The Father's gladly chosen to give us this kingdom. He paid a price for it, didn't He? He purchased it with His own blood, the Scripture says. He given this to us. What we have is so incredibly valuable. He tells us, let's seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. I still don't have a lot of time today to preach on His righteousness, but I do want you to consider with me Isaiah chapter 5. If there's one thing that's really going to take to make it to heaven, we got to have a strong, burning desire for God's righteousness. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And, in a world, well, I'll read this from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. This is what we're fighting against all the time. Isaiah 5, verse 18. "Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes, who say, 'Let him make speed, let him hasten his work that we may see it. And let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come to pass that we may know it.' Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." And this is just a little picture of this is our society. Evil is held up as good. The heroes are people who are making sin the norm, who, to steal from the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 1, not only do they practice these things, but they give hearty approval, right, to those who prize them. Hold them up on a pedestal. And after a while, right, the worse it gets, it's really easy to think that some stuff, well, it's not that bad. You know, the rampant homosexual push right now in our world, just normal immorality doesn't seem so bad anymore. It's just, this is the way this thing's going. And we got to be people that hunger and thirst for righteousness, who look to God and His standard and who He is and want to be like Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You know, I'm thankful in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And through the gospel, we get the law is righteous. But it doesn't reveal all of God's righteousness. That's revealed to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of the stuff Roger was talking about, the love and the compassion and that forgiveness and the willingness to take people and raise them up and help them be able to stand and to overcome. All of God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel, and we need to seek first kingdom, God's kingdom and His righteousness. I mean, seek first. I guess rule number one, guys, is no floating allowed. You actually have to seek. You have to want. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, we live in a world that I still am convinced scripturally this whole 666 thing is just sin, 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 and normal. Everybody gets plastered with this thing. Ah, I'm just a sinner. That's all I'm going to be. This is normal. Wait a second. A Christian, we got some other seal on our forehead, don't we? We got the name of Christ written on us. That righteousness. But There was somewhere I was going with this, and I veered myself off. You know, as far as seeking, you know, the world's apathetic. You know, the story goes some young people venture their way to the donut shop. It seems like old people are always sitting around, older guys sitting around the donut shop eating some. I remember Frank, he used to like to do that. And Don, and, you know, drink their coffee and eat the donuts. And, you know, some young guys venture in there, and those older guys are saying, two problems we got. You know, younger people in this world, they're ignorant and they're apathetic. One young guy looks at him and says, what's he talking about? He goes, I don't know and I don't care. You know, apathy reigns supreme. The step one is actually we got to seek for something. We got to want something. We got to go for it. We got to get out of that floating along mode and say, set our mind. Actually get a purpose and get a plan. The mind of man plans his ways. The Lord directs his step. Implicit in that, the Lord directs us, but there's a responsibility that God puts on us, and that is we need to actually plan our ways. We got to plan, execute the plan. Those who fail to plan to fail. I know that's one of Mike Ferguson's favorites, and it's true. Remember a guy in the church in Bozeman, we used to do a scripture memorization thing. We'd set goals every week and come back. And I didn't set any goals last week, and I achieved it. That's what happens. You don't set any goals, brother. You won't achieve anything. So step one is seek first. You got to actually plan. You got to have goals. Got to have priorities in our life. How do we go about making these priorities? Well, first and foremost, a big picture, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. Matthew 13. In one sense, it's bigger than just setting priorities. On the other hand, if you get this first part right, the next logical thing is you got to set those priorities. Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Brethren, every single one of us, when we were immersed in Jesus Christ, that's what we did. We said, I am forsaking this world. That old man is being put to death, and even though it's going to be painful, I'm happy about that, and I'm pressing on. We said the kingdom of God is worth everything we got. We turned our back on this world. Said, I'm not living for this place anymore. I'm living for something that's eternal, for something that's sure, for something that's certain, for something that can't be taken away. We recognize that. We acknowledge that's this treasure. Think about the Lord's Prayer, what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches them how to pray. And, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, a lot of people just recite those words and they have no meaning to it. But you slow it down, you consider what Jesus is saying here. He starts off, who is the focus in our prayers? The focus is God first. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praising God for who He is. Your kingdom come, brethren. We don't have to pray that prayer anymore. But the focus of our prayers still need to be about the kingdom first. And that would be your kingdom be strengthened. Your kingdom grow. Your kingdom spread throughout the whole world. That everybody may know that you are king in Israel. Right? The focus of our prayers is God first. After we've set our mind on Him and His purpose and His will, your will be done on earth, isn't it? Then we can get into daily bread. Yeah, Lord, we're dependent upon You for that. Something we don't want to forget. Forgiving, having that forgiving attitude that Roger said. But this starts, you see the mindset consistently throughout Scripture? It is first the kingdom of God. It's first His righteousness. It's first His will. I think it's a pretty obvious priority list. You know, hey, these are questions that come up, and we got to think about this and prepare about these things. Where should I live? Yeah, that's a fair question. Comes up. How are we going to make those sorts of decisions? Off where I'm going to be able to make the most money? The best climate? The best? How about this one? What's best for the kingdom? That should be the way we answer that question. What's best for the kingdom? Not what's best for me. You know, I always find it interesting in the world of hired preachers. You know, preachers all of a sudden they get called by God to go to such and such a place. Usually you look at how they got called to go to such and such a place, they're getting a bigger paycheck there. That's not true just preachers, is it? People make those kind of decisions a lot. This is the will of God. You don't think Satan will tempt you with a bigger paycheck? Come on. The question we got to ask, what is best for the kingdom? And we got to be honest about that. Jesus, if I recall, zeal for His Father's house consumed Him. Not His priority. What is best for my Father's house? What about my career? What's best for the kingdom? Guys, we need people who are successful in business. I say we. I want to say the Lord wants people, but He only wants people who are successful in business who have as their priority His kingdom, His righteousness. I'm appreciative for some of the brethren here who they are that. There's a few business ventures that I'm praying for in this congregation because I know, you know, more money doesn't change who you are. Just gives you an opportunity to do more with what you got. I'm praying for some of that because I know these men involved are kingdom first guys. But every one of us, you young people, you guys, you're figuring out, what are you going to do with your life? That whatever you choose to do, you need to make sure that you have figured out how that is going to benefit the kingdom of God. That should be the very first thing that you decide. I'm not saying that you got to preach. I'm not saying you got to teach in a Christian school. God needs people to do all sorts of things. You remember Daniel? That guy was way up there. In a bunch of world kingdoms. And God used him there. But you better decide in your mindset. You look at Daniel and why he got there. He made up his mind at a young age. He would not defile himself. He made up his mind. He wouldn't do stuff God's way. Jesus at 12 years old. I like the way the old King James says. I don't know if it's a good translation. But it's Jesus... 12 years old, he's up there at the temple, right? And he gets left, his parents figures with somebody else in the caravan. I like that. 12-year-old kid responsible enough, his parents aren't even worried about him for a few days. They come back looking for him. Where is he? He's in the temple. Didn't you know it had to be about my Father's business? 12 years old, Jesus had his priorities right. This is what matters. What about my family? What's best for the kingdom? Because you know what? You answer that question, what's best for the kingdom? That's going to answer what's best for your family. Because there's only one thing that really matters at the end of the day. And that's where do your kids end up? We teach our kids how to be successful in every way, but they don't end up making it to heaven. We failed as parents. One burning thing, really, there are two things I think we got to teach our kids. Love God. First and foremost, love God and love souls. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Psalm 78 talks about that, leaving this to the next generation, right? What God has done for us, leaving a legacy that will pass on to our kids and to our children's children, to our grandchildren. Turn this around. Kingdom first. We really got to think this way, guys. We, you know, we're there's some areas we really got to improve on, I think, for this spiritual revolution to go forward, for us to take the next step. And we got to figure out how to work together with the resources we got to be able to further the kingdom. That is going to require trust, and that doesn't mean just giving. It's going to require trust that's earned and given. We got to think about passing on an inheritance. If our children aren't Christians, pass it on to Christians. We got to think about in terms of how are we going to live together to make this thing go forward. That's the toughest thing in the world to do. Hey, live long term with somebody else. You get to know them better than you ever wanted to. Hey, your weaknesses are going to be exposed, right? Oh, and theirs probably too. And how you handle theirs. All that stuff. We got to think about this stuff, guys. Where things are going. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. What about my finances? What's best for the kingdom? You know, the Bible speaks of first fruits, doesn't it? It doesn't say leftovers. You know, we know there's nowhere in the New Testament that says 10%. But you know that number wasn't chosen by accident. God knows the way numbers work. If you wonder about that, just look up the Fibonacci sequence, right? God knows the way numbers work, and He knows the way we work. And He knows that if I just say, well, I'm going to give the Lord everything, but I don't set up a budget and I don't commit to it, it's just like when I used to run. You know, I didn't keep a daily log, man. I easily fooled myself about how many times I ran, and I didn't realize how many times I skipped. You don't set up a budget, and you don't commit right off the top, the Lord gets 10%. Pretty much guarantee you're not giving 10%. Yeah. New covenant, hey, give with a cheerful heart. We should give more than 10% out of the new covenant. How about start with 10% and then anything extra for other things, sacrifices to give to the Lord. We just got to be honest about what this means. Seek first. Put your money where your mouth is. My paraphrase of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. Oh, and then he starts venturing into this whole money thing. Yeah, I'll let you know where you're at. Money's tough to part with. It's a habit though, isn't it? Like anything else. Right off the top. What about my time? Mark was talking about this. What's best for the kingdom? To reread God's Word every day. We spend time in prayer. That's a big one for me. I'm still working on that one. I mean, to really commit to daily prayer. The way that I want to and the way I need to. It's easy for me to read the Bible. I mean, I'm just saying I've been at this a long time and got those habits in place from the time I was young. But praying takes work for me. I love it when I do it, but it's, you know, you got to, communication's difficult for me. And to set apart communication that isn't required. But how necessary is it? To think that I'm going to be able to be right in all the rest of my communication without getting my head screwed on straight, right first with the Lord. Memorizing the Word of God comes in handy, doesn't it? You're working with people, pull those verses up. Studying, meditating on the Scripture. And my, kind of hit the same thing Mark was hitting here, but you know, my guess, guys, if not only is the man in the box, or whatever you call it, the guy hauling around the sin with the cart in the cart, or however Isaiah 5 said that there, but you know, distraction is a huge, that's one of the devil's favorite tools. Distraction, 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 distraction. My guess is this. If we took all the time that we spent on TV, movies, internet, other forms of entertainment, and took half of that time to actually study the Word of God in its place. Took, you know, and when I say that, I mean reading the Scriptures, getting beefed up on our creation evolution stuff, studying Greek if you're in, you know, taking half of that time and committing to study, and the other half of the time pushing ourselves to go actually talk and get engaged with other people and take the conversation spiritual, I think we'd turn this town upside down for Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Have an assembly with the saints. How important is that? How high is that on your priority list? You know, I always liked guys like Coop when Coop was a bachelor, and almost every bachelor I've ever known is like this, so I probably was too. But I remember a particular one time, hey Coop, you want to come over for dinner? Kind of, you know, what are you having? Like, yeah, I might come unless something better comes up, right? Yeah, well, let me come. And that's pretty typical. I know a lot of bachelors, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I'll be there, and then something better comes up, and they're, you know, that's the way a lot of young guys are. But brethren, what are we like? What does it take for us to miss an assembly of the saints? Something better comes up? What? I don't know what better could be. You know, Jesus did say, turn to John chapter 11. Wow, is it 11:30? That's not what I want. I want John 12, I think. Yeah, John 12. John 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Any question where the Lord is on the first day of the week? He placed the table and He present at the table. He said, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. You think the Lord notices if you're at His table or not? I guarantee you, He does. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, there is a... I really appreciated this post that Clint Stone put on Facebook. And I'm going to read it. Because I think this is... Brother, this is sometimes how I feel. I know if I feel this way, that other brethren sometimes feel this way. Clint said, I have a ton of appreciation for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that sometimes it feels like you're not doing much, but you are. It means a lot to see your faces at assembly. And I know what it's like when it seems like that's all you can do. Your smile encourages everyone that sees it, especially when you're going through tough times. I know how hard it can get and how tough it is to help others when you're working on yourself. And I appreciate how everyone contributes what they're able. I love the saints, every one of you. And I'll said a few other things, but I'll close that off. You know what, brother? Sometimes just being here. That's what you can do. Do it. Bring that. You know, the bulletin question from last week, you know, how are we comforted through our afflictions and distresses? It's through the faith of our brethren. That encourages us. Be here, brother. Understand. When you come with a giving heart, like Hebrews chapter 10 talks about. Come with a mindset of encouraging, and you will get encouraged. It will help you get your mindset on that which is important. That's just the big picture stuff, isn't it? But I think, what if every moment of our lives we lived really with that question forefront in our minds? What's best for the kingdom of God? You think about what is worship. It's prostration before the throne of the living God. Submission before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does that mean? That means I bow down before the King. I say, whatever you want, King, I'm going to do. Every second of our lives ought to be in worship before the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. What do you want from me? This moment, I'll give to you. What does that look like? What's that look like in my marriage? You know, the stuff Roger is talking about, that's just not some nice theoretical realm stuff that, you know, Jesus is this good guy. What's this mean to be compassionate and forgiving? What's this mean to have our fears replaced with faith? What's that look like in my marriage, in my family? What's that look like at work? What's that look like in the marketplace? What's that look like in my neighborhood? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, if we put the kingdom of God first, He promised He's going to take care of us. He said that. I don't know for sure how that's going to play out. I think that you can have guys like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go in the fiery furnace, and God can rescue them. And sometimes I think He'll let them burn because they can handle it. It's something He's working on for everybody else. God's going to take care of that. You're going to end up where you're supposed to be. And we got to be honest about this. Again, this is encouragement for me, brethren. I need to get through some stuff. Refocus, regroup. What does the Lord say really matters? What's the priority of our lives? What have I sold out? What am I willing to sell out for this treasure of the kingdom? How do I use my time? What do I do with my money? What do I lie awake at night thinking about? What sort of dreams do I talk about with my wife? What sort of conversations do I have with my kids? When the saints meet, do I do everything in my power to join them? You know, I mentioned this before, I'm going to do it again. There's a guy with us who isn't with us anymore. He asked a great question. Says if the church were to go down, not that it can, guys, because it's eternal in the heavens, but the lampstand could get jerked out, but not if we answer this question right. But if the church were to go down, how much would I lose? I like when you ask it that way. I'll let you know how much do I have really invested in this thing, right? That guy couldn't answer the question right. Not here anymore. But for us, everything, the church first. Let's prioritize. If you don't have plans, make plans, set goals, and prioritize kingdom of God and His righteousness first. Number one, everything else flow from that. Let's stand.